think I missed out on family time. And so being with you each year has just been a huge blessing to Kim and I. But when you rescheduled it, we were scheduled to be in Texas. I spoke outside of Fort Worth, and I already bought plane tickets, so it was kind of hard for me to reschedule that. But we're just really happy to be here today. I want to thank you for what you mean, what this church means to Southeastern Children's Home, for the partnership that we have for a long time. I had the privilege of speaking to the early service this morning, and when one of the guys came up and was talking to me about his change can, and I said, you know, you think those change cans don't accumulate a great deal, but by the year end, we'll have collected about $20,000 in change. And so it's a lot of money, a little bit at a time. So thank you for participating in that, for helping our kids at Christmas and back to school, and for supporting us monthly. We just can't thank you enough. This year, Southeastern Children's Home celebrating our 50th anniversary. And so we've kind of celebrated all year, and it'll culminate on December 1st with an anniversary gala. If any of you have any interest in coming, I left some cards out in the foyer. We only have about 15 seats left out of 300, but we'd love to have you come and celebrate. It's going to be a fun night. One of the young ladies that we assisted in an adoption a long time ago is going to be performing that night for us. And then another one of young ladies who graduated through our program, who's a mom now and Sunday school teacher, and she's going to come back and talk about what the ministry meant to her. And so it'll be a fun night and a celebration. And if you can come, we'd love to have you. This morning I'd like to talk for just a few minutes about the legacy of a Christian. And I don't know how you came to know the Lord. We all have different stories, but my story begins with my grandmother, who was kind of the matriarch of the family. My grandmother loved the Lord, and she loved to worship. And so every Sunday morning, she would get up and load up my mom and my aunt and take them to church, and she'd dress them up, and they enjoyed worshiping together. But my grandfather never really wanted to have a lot to do with church. He encouraged my grandmother, but he just always had something more important to do on Sunday morning. And so it was that way for a great deal of my mom's life, until one day my grandmother fell ill and she could no longer drive, and frankly she could no longer walk. But my grandfather loved her so much, and he knew how important church was to my grandmother. So he bought a Plymouth Fury 3 station wagon. And only a few of us know what that is. But a Plymouth Fury 3 station wagon today would be compared with a hearse. And you could fit 20 or 30 people in if you snuggled up. And it was square and boxy. But my grandfather bought it so that he could transport my grandmother to church. And so he would put her wheelchair in the back of the car, and he would pick her up and put her in the seat beside him. And then when they got to church, he kind of had a parking space that they let him have, and he would pick my grandmother up and put her in the wheelchair and roll her into church. And my grandmother was so frail, but she didn't want to sit in the back 40 like we do if we get there early for church, right? She wanted to sit up front. And so my grandfather would roll her down the center aisle and stop one row from the front. And he'd scoot in beside her, and she sat in her wheelchair during church. You see, my grandfather already knew the Lord because he saw it in my grandmother's life. He lived with her every day. But it was through coming to worship service and meeting godly people and listening to strong lessons that he became a Christian. And even Even in his final days, Kim and I would go see him in Florida when he could hardly walk and was in a recliner where he spent most of his time with a remote control, like most of us men want to die, with a remote control in our hand. But the most important part of his week was when the brothers from church would bring him communion on Sunday morning. I wonder how you came to know the Lord. And if we could go around the auditorium this morning, you all have your own story. Some of you grew up in the church like Kim and I. But some of you came to know the Lord through a next-door neighbor or a friend. Or maybe an activity that you were invited to. Or maybe a dinner at the church building. Or maybe somebody reached out to you when you were in need. And I'd encourage you to go back and study that heritage so that perhaps you can go back and say thank you. Because you see, through my grandmother, my aunt and uncle, or my aunt and my mom became Christians, and their husbands and their children, my cousins and my sister and brother and I, all came to know the Lord through my grandmother. But unfortunately, today I can't go back and say thank you. But maybe some of you can. This morning I want to talk a little bit about the idea of legacy. We began the morning by reading Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, where Moses begins that section by saying, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Well, sometimes we don't credit Moses with that back in Deuteronomy, do we? We credit Jesus with that, because every time Jesus was asked, "What's the most important commandment?" he always said the same thing, didn't he? He said, "Love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." But really close to that, he said, "Love your neighbor." And so, Moses knew the importance of that. And then in verse 6 of Deuteronomy, Moses writes, "These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Does that sound like something that might be important in legacy building? You see, the world is dark out there, isn't it? And Satan's busy and he's filling our children's minds with all kinds of things. But if we can spend our time as parents, as brothers and sisters, if we can teach our children from the time they get up in the morning until the time they go to bed at night, if we can teach them that Jesus is more important, focus on the big picture and not the little picture, then we can help build the church. And not just the church of tomorrow, but the church of today. Our children are so important, and they're so influential. And they see you when you walk in the church building in the morning, and they see you smiling at each other and hugging each other. And you watch some of the kids, they're walking up, and they want to be hugged too, don't they? In fact, according to one source that I read, children who develop one significant relationship in the church outside of their nuclear family stand a greater chance of staying faithful once they're adults. Because you see, they kind of expect that out of their parents. "Come on, get up, get dressed, we're going to church this morning." But somebody else who reaches out to them, to impact them, to love them, to hug them, to ask them how their day and their week is going. You see, that is what's going to make a difference to the future of our children. So if we want to build a legacy, let's teach our children and let's teach our adults to put first things first, to love God with all that we are. Second, if we want to build a Christian legacy, we need to teach our children how to recognize what the world needs and then to respond with compassion and with action. Now, once in a while, when I teach that text, people said, "Brother, are you teaching a work salvation?" And I'm not. I understand that we're all going to be saved by grace. But I also understand in James, where he talks about our faith without works is no faith at all. And so if we're going to be faithful, we need to teach our children compassion. And we need to teach them action. My two favorite verses in Scripture or sections that have to do with that. The first comes from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. And the second comes from James 1, 27. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne and all the nations will be gathered before Him and He will separate the sheep. He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I am hungry and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited Me in. I needed clothes and you clothed Me. I was sick and you looked after Me. I was in prison and you came to visit Me." And you remember the rest of that passage when they said, "Lord, when do we do that? When do we do that for you?" And He said, "When you did it to one of the least, you did it for Me." I wonder when we reach out. When we reach out in our community, when we see people who are struggling, who are starving, who are desperate, I wonder if we see Jesus. Because Jesus said, "Those are the ones I want you to pay attention to. Love those in need." And then in James 1, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Take care of those who can't take care of themselves. Isn't that what that says? Take care of the widows who've lost the most important person in their lives. And take care of the fatherless, because they don't have that example. And so reach out to them and love them. If we want to leave a legacy, we need to show and teach compassion to our young people. And finally, if we want to leave our children a legacy, I believe we need to help them find a sense of purpose, direction, and mission. I love going into churches, and I get to go in almost every Sunday around the country, and I love to see the young people involved in the services, and I love to see them pray around the table, and sometimes they pass out the emblems, and sometimes they read, and sometimes they sing. I visited a church not long ago where the song leader's son stood beside him, and he hardly could see over the podium. But you see, that made a huge impact on that little boy, that he was watching his dad impact the church. He was watching his dad love the Lord through song. And no doubt there were people in the auditorium that were probably thinking, you know, what's that little kid doing up there? He shouldn't be up there. Some might have said, he's not a baptized believer. He's participating and he's not a baptized believer. Remember what Jesus said about that? "Let the little children come to me." You remember the disciples didn't want to bother him? And he said, "Stop. Let them come to me. Because this is the kingdom of heaven. This is what it's going to look like." So we need to help our kids find find out, find their place in the church, be involved. We need to help them find their purpose. Our kids, you know where their purposes are largely? In front of the TV or in front of the video games or with their peers at school. You know, there's lots of studies out there that say there's nothing more important to our young people growing up than their peers. And I so appreciate the fact that you guys have a youth minister, even if he's sick, that gets up in front of his kids. And I watched him this morning when I walked by his class, and I watched those kids and grow. See, you don't know who's looking in, but I was looking in. You see, because they see his heart. When he'll stand up here sick and still do what he feels like God's called him to do, and that's helping our kids to find out and figure out who they are and what their purpose is. The challenge here is to leave our children a heritage, not just an inheritance. Someone once said, our children are messengers we send to a time that we will not see. Brothers and sisters, help our children to find themselves and pray for them and encourage them and love them. I think if we accomplish all three of these things, we will surely build a legacy that will live on for many generations, both in the church and in the community at large. Because we'll see a difference in those people, and people will see a difference in our young people. What I didn't tell you about my growing up was the significance of my church family. I remember preaching my first sermonette from the front, Jay. And I prepared for a long time. And it was supposed to last 10 minutes. And I think it lasted about 3.5. I zipped through it so fast. And I'm sure it was so bad. But when I got down, the people loved on me. And you would have thought I was the best public speaker ever. You see, my church impacted who I am today. I watched them support children from the children's home. We had a little girl that came, and she would stay with some of our families, and we would provide this huge Christmas to her. And I watched my church family give food to those who are hungry. In fact, one Thanksgiving, they provided Thanksgiving dinner to one of my extended family members who would have never had Thanksgiving without them. You see, that impacted my life. Not just my birth family, but my church family. And I was an ornery teenager. I was an ornery young person. Now I'm an ornery old man. But my challenge to you, church, is don't give up on your kids. You know what? They're going to go through lots of challenges and lots of things. And don't give up on them. Keep loving on. Kim and I were in the church last Sunday, and this girl came in, and she had bright pink hair. Looked like a cotton candy. And I asked one of the elders who we went to lunch with, I said, tell me about the pink-haired girl out in the audience. And they said, well, last weekend it was purple. But she's here. She's here. And we get to love on her. And we get to minister to her. So at Southeastern Children's Home, our legacy is planting seeds in the hearts of children. I didn't tell you earlier that we had 6 kids graduate from high school in May. We had 2 children this summer baptized into Christ. One of them was a young man you'll remember a number of years ago in previous administration, when the kids from Central America, not unlike what's happening today, except these were just kids, were coming through, and their parents were sending them to bridges in Mexico and having their children run across the bridges. And they came in to America, and that's how this young man got here. His dad, who's an undocumented person in America, paid somebody in Honduras to drive him to Mexico to drop him off at the base of the bridge and say, son, take your suitcase and just start running. He didn't know anything about Jesus. This summer he took on Jesus in baptism. God's not through with him. He's still trying to figure out who he is. I think that's our calling at Southeastern Children's Home, to build legacies one kid at a time. And so I want to thank you. Thank you for helping us, for partnering with us, for blessing us, and for blessing children that you likely will never get to meet. But kids nevertheless, who are hurting and scarred and fatherless, who need Jesus the same as I need Jesus, the same as you need Jesus. So thank you for helping us plant seeds, and sometimes we get a chance to water those seeds. And what we know, Paul told us that if we water them, if we plant them and water them, God will bring about the gain. And that's my trust, and that's my confidence. So again, thank you for what you do. You know, I'm not sure I've said anything this morning that would make you want to respond to the Lord's invitation, but you know what? We're here to plant seeds in your heart, and your elders and your shepherds and your ministers and your members would love to help water those seeds, but you got to let them. If you have a need, let the church know what that need is, and let the shepherds wrap their arms around you and pray for you. If you're not a Christian, today's the best time to take on the Lord in baptism. So be brave this morning. Be confident. Let God be God. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come? As together we stand and sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.